Blog Talk Radio.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules.
Okay, good evening, and it's nighttime with Reba LaMaestra, the teacher, and Reba, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Brother L.A.
Good evening, and to get started, since you are the teacher, I want to, before you get into your main topic here, I wanted to see if I'm pronouncing these phrases correctly. Is that okay?
No problema.
Okay, first one, que es esto?
Está bien, es correcto. Que es esto?
¿Cómo se dice?
Okay, it's not dice like in English, but the I is like a double E as in need, and the E is like E as in elephant or egg, so that's dice. So, ¿cómo se dice? So, the say was correct. That was pretty good. ¿Cómo se dice?
¿Cómo se dice?
Yes.
Okay.
You've been studying. Good for you.
Well, hold on.
Como tú estudias.
No. I just got this a few hours ago. I've got a method here. Yo no entiendo.
Está bien. Yo no entiendo. Okay. And so, ¿qué significa la frase? What do those phrases mean?
Oh, well, what is this? How do you say? I do not understand. I wrote these terms down because I figure I'm going to be saying that a whole lot.
That's right. And those are phrases that Reba La Maestra uses. I'm branding Reba La Maestra because of my Spanish training, my Spanish classes and workshops. And those are what I call power phrases because they're conversation builders as well as it helps you feel your way through a conversation. So it builds on the conversation. And it actually alludes to relying on getting as much out of the native speaker or the person that you're conversating with. So it's almost like even if there are two people who are learning Spanish at the same time, it's a challenge because no one person knows everything, and we all know different things at different levels. So that would still be a challenge to pose those same power phrases to build, once again, to build and to empower yourself to become fluent. So those are some of the few phrases that I coin as power phrases.
Okay.
So good for
next
you. I'm proud. You're so muy orgulloso.
Going to the next one. Yo no entiendo. Entiendo.
Entiendo. Entiendo.
Okay. Next one. Repita, por favor.
Repete. Repeat that.
Repita, por favor.
Okay, so that would be repitan or repita, por favor.
Repita. Repita. Repita, por favor.
Repita. So the A is like A as in car, kind of.
Repeat. You say repeat.
Repita.
Repita.
Good. Repeat that, please.
Now this one's challenging. Repetir lentamente. Repeat slowly. That's what I'm trying to say. Repetir.
So that's used as a phrase. I'd like to ask what translation are you using?
Well, I'm trying to get. I'm trying to say.
Are you using like
slowly.
Google? Pardon?
Oh no! Yeah, Google Translate.
Okay. Remember, Riva La Maestra, I don't recommend Google Translate for formal Spanish learning. It's a website. Google is amazing. I love Google. I have all of the Google services just about. But for translation purposes, that would not be the one that I would recommend. Actually, Google got into a little bit of trouble. There was a translation for a festival. Festival of the Tomatoes, the culture, the Hispanic culture, the Latinos, they celebrate, they have a festival, and they celebrate by different events with tomatoes. But the word that was translated, it described a female's body part, el cinturón, and the thing is, that flyer went out into the community. And so that organization is actually had taken Google under lawsuit. So I do recommend, because once again, Google is like a Wikipedia where people, from what I had learned, people can contribute to Google and actually make suggestions and so forth. So for translation purposes or for just informational purposes as is. But then it's almost like Wikipedia. SpanishDICT.com, that company hires Spanish speakers or translators to upload. They have three different translators that come up. Microsoft, which is generally computer-generated. It's not the one that I would rely on the most, but there's three. So you do the process of elimination, and that's what I teach in my classes, to show which ones would be more accurate. So the two that I use the most are SBL, translator, and prompt. And the Microsoft, every so often I will get a translation that gives a more formal translation of a phrase or even a text that I'm a paragraph or so that I'm actually translating. So it helps to to learn a grammar structure. Repite la mente, I would just more so use repitar más despacio. Despacio means slowly. And again, I would just more so use a formal Spanish, especially, you know, when we're teaching. But it would be something that could be used, you know, so, but you got to consider formal and informal, or even slang. So, of course, informal is slang, but mente is like, you know, in the process, it's that part of the word that means it's in process. So, repite la mente. For instance, we'll learn about, in my workshops, about articles. Word, verb endings, and prefixes. So I'm kind of getting into it a little deep, though, huh?
Well, I got one more, then I'm going to get off to Spanish. Hold on, wait a minute. Which one is this? Que haces?
So the H is silent, so pronounce it without the H being sounded. Silent.
K aces.
Well, you said K haces. Okay.
K haces.
So remember it's silent. So you just had it a minute ago. K aces.
K aces.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the H is fat.
Okay. What do you do?
Okay, or what are you doing? Well, because the ES, the I E N D O at the end of the word is like ING. And I says, it means that I'm talking to you. The I-N-D-O is like I-N-G. So there are some comparisons to English, but I says is like, what are you doing? Like, you know, what do you do? Or what are you doing?
So,
but that's more of the phrase.
Because I haven't spelled. So what I want to say, ask is, what do you do?
So yes, what do you do?
So
I'm sorry, I really should say,
so I should keep it with the H-A-C-E-S or? Drop the
S. Yes, I apologize.
Okay.
Haciendo is what I'm doing. I apologize. So, yeah. It's getting,
okay.
So, yeah.
All
yeah,
right,
they
well,
ask us, what are you doing? Not what do you do, but what are you doing? Well, yeah, what are you doing?
All right, well, I'll get back to that in the morning.
Good
all right,
for you.
Well, enough
you
Spanish.
Are doing well.
Oh,
I'm proud of you.
Well, I just dug those up. I found somebody's teaching method online yesterday, which makes sense to me.
Yes.
So I've been like watching
like
videos
it, yeah.
on various ways to learn. So one guy was recommending. He said if you practice speaking for 150 hours, you should be fluent enough to get along in that particular language. Speaking 150 hours, you should be. Fluent enough to get through, I mean, handle the language. You, I mean, you won't be top of the line, but you can get through and function if you spend 150 hours. Now, within that 150 hours, like you said, there's some, they say the first 20 hours are very important. You know, so if you work on cognates are like words that are similar, words that you already know in that particular language. And they're similar to words that are already in your mother tongue, depending on the language. Like in German, Fuss, F-U-S-S, it means foot in English. So they have, you know, house is a German word, H-A-U-S. But in English, house is H-O-U-S. So those are examples of cognitive. So you can apply that to Spanish as well. Okay.
Right.
So,
in
Portuguese.
You know, about 3,000 words that most people already know. Yes.
Right, exactly.
But
you
just pronounce them the Spanish way. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. So, now some words, going back to German, because I know more of that than Spanish. Like arm, H-A-R-M, in German, or an arm, A-R-M in English, is the arm on your limbs. Okay? But A-R-M, arm, pronounced the same way, spelled the same way in German, means four. So, those, anyway, examples of cognates. So, like you said, it's about two, three, maybe four, depends on language, cognates. So, cognates, basic power phrases, as you just said. Practice speaking those for 150 hours. There's a few other things. And, you know, you can accomplish that 150 hours in 30 days. But if you're doing it in 30 days, that's like you putting in about 8 hours a day every day. Or 2 months, 3 months, or 6 months. But you got to practice speaking, using what you know, using cognates, power words, and just like you were a child. And then even watching movies, you know, even if you don't understand a word, that's all right. You're getting exposed to the sound of it, the rhythm of it. And anyway, so that's where I'm at. Now, switching on to
language. Now, one thing I would share, a tip. Because you just shared that tip that was shared with you before from an online contributor. I would not recommend, because we try to just make this process just as much fun, smooth and easy as possible, fast, fun, and easy, as I call it in my promotion. The reality is that if you study as long as you want to study, you'll want to come back to that. It's like even with children, you know, as we teach English literacy, and it's one of the things that I do as well, we want the children to choose subjects that they want to read about, things that they want to learn about. And so, of course, their English literacy skills will be increased because they'll want to get more books on that subject. And then we can kind of help them to broaden their scope of reading by introducing new areas surrounding that topic or that subject area that they like to read about. Comic books even. And then maybe they can start reading about art, and then they'll learn new terminology about art, you know, okay. So then you just go deeper and deeper and expand, you know, their broaden their horizons as far as that goes. So, yeah, I get excited because I learn from you too as well. You know, as you're learning, teachers, we always have to learn about our students or potential students or those who want to know, because in some cases, like, for instance, I had a college student who's struggling in chemistry, so I'd refer him. He's a student at St. Xavier, normally AB student, but we want to keep him on point. So I'm learning about how I could help that student once he describes his situation. So it's not necessarily terminology, which I can help him with that too, but with the calculations, he's going to get a referral to my friend Dr. Torrance Lindsay. Or, you know, my friend who's a chemist, Marla Price. So the reality is that we teachers, we're always thinking of resources. Do I have the resources or do I need to do research? So teachers are always doing that as well as you do as an educator and scholar yourself. So we do learn, be it the Spanish teacher to the English teacher, chemistry teacher, you name it. We are just learning from the students and how, not only learning styles, but we have to tweak our pedagogical styles in order to help our students or our clients.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one more.
And we do further research.
That I picked up was they said two more. Get a language partner and practice 5-minute conversations. 5-minute conversations in your language and five-minute conversation in the target language. So I've even broken that down further. That's where I'm going with these, like, power words. Get, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 power phrases, and then master the 1-minute conversation. Then master a 2-minute conversation. And then go up to 5, and then from 5 you can basically multiply it to any number that you want. And that's basically how we started learning our first mother tongue anyway. We started off with a word.
That's right. That's right. And you build on that.
And it got to two words, and that's the thing, because two words could make a sentence. Or one word, you know.
Definitely, yeah. Like chaos is even in Spanish. And in español, chaos means what are you doing? And English is three words, in Spanish, too. But I don't recommend, honestly, personally, I don't recommend, like, having a student focus on, like, a certain amount of hours, because that can be kind of bothersome and frustrating. And if we get some callers, or, you know, those that are listening, if they kind of wanted to hone in, we have a lot of professionals who want to take, you know, like yourself, you know, you have, like, a super full schedule, but you're able to still reach out and help others. And as you learn, you've even shared some things with me from other Spanish teachers and so forth who have online programs and from YouTube, you name it. So these are resources that we're sharing. But the tips, it's per individual. Because I wouldn't recommend myself, in my experience. I just know that many professionals and some students, they don't want to think, oh, I have to study for 2 hours. Well, first of all, if you get into your studies, you actually may study 3 hours before you know it. But if you actually know that you're going to sit down and apply yourself, you get just more and more involved in those studies and research, especially nowadays with everything being at your fingertips, with technology. And we are able to, you know, get different versions of the same, be it translation or different links to different sites on the subject, opinions like Wikipedia and so forth. And then once again, the Google Translate, my students, when I taught at DeSalva High School, they just wanted to continually go to Google Translate. And they would say, oh, Mama Reba, wait a minute, I know the answer's right because I got it from Google Translate. I said, that's the problem. Because your software on your computer is looking for the formal Spanish. So it was more like 50-50. So a lot of the words were right, but if it was more like repítelamente, okay, that may not necessarily be what the software program was looking for. So we were using a program that actually, where the students could actually speak into the computer, and if their grammar was incorrect, the pronunciation was incorrect, they would get it wrong. But they, with the audio, they would have a chance to actually repeat and get it right and get earn their point. Mm-hmm. So it's just for practice. I'm excited about the resources that are available, and I really have been able to take advantage of some of the things that you share as I master Spanish as a second language myself. So, and thank you for sharing your update on your Spanish studies.
Okay, now switching gears, what's on your mind for the night? Thank you for taking that time for the, to make sure I was pronouncing those correctly.
Oh, of course, no problem. No problema.
So, what's the topic for the night?
Okay, so pretty much we have an event coming up with Time for Peace. The Time for Peace is a movement to circumvent violence, and I shared with United Black American Progress Association members on last night that we wanted to be able to encourage youth entrepreneurship for self-sufficiency. So the reality is that we can say all day, put the guns down, put the guns down, put the guns down. I also mentioned the 40 acres, and their eyes got really big, Brother L.A., when I said, oh, we can get our 40 acres. We actually already have it. We just have to identify where and just accumulate those 40 acres. So I shared that 40 acres concept, as I call it, that I got from you, and they were really excited about that. So I'm expecting to hear from a sister, Mama Barbara Baker, and Brother Yeshua. He was driving at the time. But nevertheless, we have the event that it's a youth entrepreneurship event. They're going to see comedians, professional comedians like Cherie Luckett. I'm going to be singing, Reba La Maestra, Reba B, for the stage when I'm singing. Mike Wallace, who's a professional DJ. Speaker Mac McGee, he actually just got promoted So we're going to, hopefully he can call in or Skype and just, you know, give a word of encouragement. He has worked with youth everywhere from the Juvenile Detention Center here in Chicago, Cook County Juvenile Detention Center. He actually just got promoted to run a crisis intervention program in D.C., in Washington, D.C., so we're proud of him as well. I really wanted to just focus on how we can benefit youth by sharing resources for self-sufficiency, youth entrepreneurship, bartering. So those are the things that I definitely wanted to delve into today.
Okay, well, anybody who's interested in participating in the conversation, you can dial 646-668-2083. That's 646-668-2083 and press 1. And until we do that, Reva, you can promote what you need to promote.
Okay, so this event is going to be, it's a bilingual academic conference, and we generally, our agency, Employment Resources and Child Care Network, we generally cater to the Chicago Public School community, parents and community, and this is one of several events that we will have, we've had a couple already. And we're going to be at Buffet City on 71st and Pulaski. The event is going to go on from 6 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $20. We have youth who will be performing, CPS alumni, other special invited guests. And the youth will get resources for summer jobs, financial literacy. There's going to be a workshop facilitated on will preparation, and she's going to share about the importance of life insurance as well. So we have a few speakers who will be contributing on that night. Vendor tables will be $30. There'll be a dinner for one, all you can eat as well with that. So vendors can come and make the money and support this event at the same time, as well as learn some Spanish. I'll do my Spanish, so that's a good thing. I'll be able to give an overview, a mini workshop, as I did. We had an event similar to this in 2014 at Dan's Soul Food here in Chicago.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to be able to show one of your videos or something. I'd like to be able to do that. I'm trying to. I have Brother LS, who he's worked downtown for like the Palmer House Hotel, and he does like the audio technician, audio visual technician. So he's done like some of those big venues downtown and Northside, you name it. And he's actually my former music producer. We worked on a couple of projects together. So I've reached out to him. So hopefully we'll be able to get some really nice graphics. He's super busy, but we have a couple of others. We have some youth that we want to actually connect him with prior to, so they'll learn and know exactly what he's doing. And again, comedian Sheree Luckett, she may be able to call in tonight, but she was actually going on the air with another station, and so she said she may, if she's able to get a break, she'll call in and just say hello. So we want to we know that financial literacy is not being taught in the schools, basic math and so forth. We want to teach youth the concept, actually, this approach. The Youth Financial Literacy Foundation has a program that's being offered for free where schools and organizations, not private organizations, churches as well, can get a $500 grant after 8 weeks of completion of this Youth Financial Literacy Program. So Youth Financial Literacy Foundation of United Credit Education Services, Financial Education Services is a subsidiary. My office that I came out of is located in Evergreen Park. And there on Thursday, there's a free financial a credit restoration overview, but parents can actually stop in there Thursdays at 7 p.m., 3337 West 95th Street, off 96th and Holman in Evergreen Park. And from 7 to about 9 p.m., they can get that credit restoration overview and find out about the services that are provided. But that session is actually a workshop, as I call it, is actually free on Thursdays. But the approach that we're taking with this Time for Peace movement is of Employment Resources and Child Care Network is to teach the children and the families, the adults in their lives will learn. They'll be inquisitive. And the YMCA has actually taken on this concept as well. When I was going to work for them, I shared with them my approach. As of 2008, I began to, as I teach the children, I teach the children, you know, the part of their homework was to share what they were learning with their parents, which you would think, right, that it would be welcomed for children to share their homework or what their day was like or what they learned in school with parents. But we know that we have parents working 2 and 3 jobs and so forth. but we just want to make these experiences fun, even if it's while mom is doing the dishes or preparing dinner. Just have those conversations, you know. It'd be great if everybody could sit at the dinner table together. But nevertheless, that 10 minutes, you know, that eye-to-eye contact while the water's starting to boil, it makes all the difference in the world to a child. And I actually learned this as a young mother myself when I was in college. I was like 27 years old. Actually, when I was getting my feet wet under Daryl Dennard and Dr. Hemphill on WKKC in media, actually. So another component of CHIME, which the acronym stands for Cultural History Immersion, Modeling and Entrepreneurship, Entertainment and Educational Endeavors, the 4 E's, CHIME, that's CHIME, 4 P's, P-E-A-C-E, where adults like you and myself who have had experience in certain professions, we could role model for these youth, and they would actually have some guidance and directives. If they're under 18, we have guidelines about that as well. But also these are potential future employees, but definitely the promotion is a win-win for the role models because you have these young people that will be learning about your business and then they get to promote the structure, the guidelines a lot for the promotion of your business and or programs or services that the youth would actually help you with because they'll be learning hands-on. So it's somewhat like free labor, but this is free training for the youth as well. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so out of, because you're in Chicago, what are some of the trending issues in Chicago right now?
Well, of course, with our school closings, a lot of schools are still having a little bit of difficulty with getting children on track because now you have children coming from different communities. Of course, the crime rate, you know, is up. I am seeing more, on a positive note, I'm seeing more holistic programs coming into the schools. And I'm grateful about that. I just visited Mollison on yesterday. And then prior to that, I visited Doolittle, which is a sister school of Urban Prep, where my youngest son attends, Urban Prep Bronzeville. So Doolittle had, a gentleman, I actually have his card here, who came in, Heaven on Earth, Herbs, Inc., and his website is www.heavenonearthherbs.com. And this gentleman out of Markham, Illinois, he came in, Stephen Heath. He actually came in with, he explained the difference. Let me get this right. vegetarian diet. No, this was a vegetarian diet. We had a meal. One of the portions of the meal was similar to scrambled eggs, but it was tofu, scrambled tofu. And then we had slices. Well, I had one slice of what looked like bacon, tasted that way, broccoli. He said it was more, it wasn't real spicy. It was like a dip, tortilla chips. He said it was spicy. It was fine. It was pretty mild. We had the broccoli on the side, and then we also had what was like, it was barbecue flavored tofu, and so it was more textured. So it was like a tidbit. And mind you, now we had that right after we opened up the meeting at the school. We were I'm a Title I consultant, so I attend a lot of parent advisory council meetings. And as we shared, they start off with the peace circle, so which is really cool. And I shared the conflict resolution program, which actually delves into more of teaching youth. So you can try to have peace all day, but then if they leave the school, somebody might find a gun that they stashed and be shooting at the next student. We want them to actually learn conflict resolution. So I'm not totally knocking the peace circles, but the reality is that we want to really teach conflict resolution and conflict avoidance where possible. These are skills that these youth need. So before we got to actually break down those programs that we were sharing, we took a break, and we had this meal. And when we came back to resume the meeting, everybody's energy was just so on point, and they explained that these proteins in the school. So that's a trend that I see with the natural foods, vegetarian. Some schools are moving toward having, like, greenhouses, gardens. In my area, we have Lionel Hampton, Science Performing Arts School. They grew basil and some other things in the garden in my area. And, it's trending. I've taken youth over to the aquaponics facility. And if anyone is not familiar with aquaponics, it involves where fish, and at that point, with this particular, the particular fish that was used for this lab was codfish. And so as the fish fertilizes the water, the water fertilizes the plants, but they actually have a full-fledged program which takes you through the science, math, I like to say literacy as well, science, math, and literacy of how how you get the vegetation from how much sunlight, I mean, even down to the science of it. So you go into the Chicago Aquaponics Facility, directed by Emmanuel Pratt over there. Kayem El-Amin, who's a recent grad with his master's degree from Chicago State University. Oh, and that's another trend that I'll get into in 1 minute, a concern that we have with Chicago State. Kayem El-Amin actually invited myself out, and then Dr. Tolson, Jeffrey Tolson, my first time there, we took a session after touring the facility for the Breaking Barriers panel discussion. So I'm actually in that video, so I'll share that link on your site and my page as well, if you guys can see it. My oldest son was in attendance as a panelist. And it was an all-male panel, and that was one of the discussions one of the discussions that we had during that panel was regarding should there be metal detectors when students are entering school and so forth. So, but yeah, trending. Okay, Chicago State is said to be due to close by our governor. And so we have a Sister Cassiopeia Sledge, who's a fellow member of United Black American Progress Association. She is actually sharing through the Black Mall, blackmall.com, where we can contribute to keeping that school open. So there's a concern about the budget as far as keeping the school open. So Governor Reiner is actually considering shutting the school down. So we're looking for support, and that my late mother, who was a nursing student from Chicago State, she was an alumni of Chicago State. So we want to get some support for CSU in that area. Let's see. These young warrior guys, as they call them in Chicago, they're pretty resilient. But we, with the trauma, you know, we as a people, no one's really considered, or just maybe a few of us had considered, that we as a people had not really healed from slavery via the psychic trauma and other trauma that we suffered, physical and so forth, from slavery. And then now what we're facing is that we realize that we were never really free. But these youth, which is my focus, I'm an avid youth advocate. So they are very open to learning. So the trend is to teach youth policy and even policy implementation. I attended Northeastern University back in 1990 with my dad as a youth. I was 19, turning 20, and I attended under the auspices of Dr. Conrad Worrell, who's now the president of that campus over there at the David Carruthers Center. And I took a course on policy, urban policy implementation, and it really gave me some insight as to how policies are created. And we want to teach policy and study of law and research. It's important for us to do our own research. We always participate in different research studies, but it's important for blacks to research ourselves, research our own children, do our own surveys, and we come up with those numbers and see if they add up to what's being stated about our youth. Interestingly enough, we had at DeSable High School, a lot of the students, we were being sponsored. We had one of the programs sponsored by Northwestern University. So we got Apple laptops and so forth donated for use for us to do our online work, different programs that we had. So it was pretty much, you know, definitely a good support. But the youth, a part of, you know, having that grant, there were surveys that were administered, and some of the students didn't like some of the questions that were on survey, and they kind of were reluctant. And I said, but your opinion is your opinion. So even though you may not like the way the question is posed, for instance, and you just tell me this if you would be offended by this question. One question was, do blacks feel that everything should be handed to them? So how do you feel about that? What would your opinion be?
Repeat that question again.
One of the questions on this survey that was administered by Northwestern University was, do blacks feel, now these are youth, these are my, I don't know if we have freshmen, definitely have sophomores. Okay, so sophomores, yeah, and the juniors if they had not taken the survey in their sophomore year. So one of the questions was, do blacks feel that everything should be handed to them?
Not all of them.
And so, of course, now you're able to share your opinion. So I was just, you know, led to encourage the students. We did need, in order to keep the grant, we did need to complete the survey. And, of course, anytime any survey is voluntary. So as I encouraged the youth to take the survey just so that they would actually see what type of questions are being posed, for one, regarding them and their families and our communities, and that's okay. And, of course, you know, I had not returned to Northeastern, but, you know, we're a center for inner-city studies. So, well, the David Carruthers Center is. So the reality is that although at the time I didn't know that I would be returning there so soon after that experience in teaching, keep in mind I'm teaching black students how to speak Spanish, when a lot of their parents even said, and they agreed with me, a lot of them, And I hear it all the time. Even yesterday, as I visited Mollison School, a lot of the students, their parents say that they don't need Spanish. Because I was volunteering with Black Star Project to do the college and career readiness. And of course, we get into college a little bit. But the career readiness, I of course let them know that one of my skills that I market is my Spanish. So I also get to negotiate my pay rate because I have that additional skill. But nevertheless, a lot of their parents say, well, we don't need Spanish. But then how do you expect to get that job if you don't give yourself the edge? You know, do you feel that you should just get a job? And honestly, I'm not with affirmative action. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm learning more about if I could say benefits, just for the sake of conversation, I don't really like to do that. But when I look at affirmative action, to be honest with you, it's like we can create our own corporation. Affirmative action, really? But if it's if these corporations or if these entities are governed by federal dollars, if they're utilizing federal dollars, then definitely you best believe that we should have opportunity to have some of those positions and qualify ourselves. You know, there's no excuse for us to, you know, say that we don't have every opportunity. And then also considering, you know, taking advantage of resources. But one thing that I realized that, and this is one move on the parents end, is holding parents accountable to take advantage of resources. Find out who your alderman is. You know, we're also many Chicagoans are alluding to getting our mayor out of there. We just, our mayor just fired the police superintendent. And so we have a Cotati State's attorney, Anita Alvarez, who many Chicagoans want out of there as well. So those are just a few of the trends. And the thing is, and it's regarding some of the shootings that had occurred with young Black males, many of them unarmed, and some armed with maybe a knife, and, you know, where the police are supposed to maybe disable the suspect or the, you know, the object of pursuit. I grew up believing, I heard about throwing the baton to maybe trip them up, you know, but as far as, you know, body shots, you know, from the waist up, you know, I've heard of people getting shot in the buttocks, in the leg, but as far as, you know, just some of the horrific things that we've experienced, I'm actually beginning to reach out to those who work in the mental health field. So hopefully we'll get Brother Howard back out. He's one of the regular, one of our regular associates on with the Naeem Latif Show with Serenity Services. They do counseling over there. He's one of the counselors. And he was with us, Brother Howard. He was with us in 2014 at our first conference. We do have a new donor as well, Dr. Wanda Parker, who was she is an alumni of Bogan High School, where, you know, we both attended Bogan together. So she reached back to help with one youth, one of my young people, Janaya, as a survivor of abuse. Her mother's incarcerated, so her grandmother, you know, sought resources, and I was able to get her some sponsorship, you know, for Christmas. I don't celebrate Christmas per se. That season, we just wanted to have some family time. So we were able to have dinner with Dr. Palmer, who, for one, even with some of the things that I've suffered or experienced, and I would say suffered, I'd rather say experienced, because these things can be traumatic. I just believe in, you know, as we press forward, acknowledge where the pain is and find your joy. Not that everything is all peaches and cream, but you still have to press forward. You have to be able to look at what it is and what you can do about it. Seek out resources, if nothing now, but you still have to consider, how do I move forward? So that's one thing that I'd like to see the adults you know, especially in the African American community, begin to share with our youth. You know, it's not that like they're not going to be conflict, but we want to be able to move forward and figure out how to resolve conflict and move forward. Because at the end of the day, we still have to, at times, come back to that same job, school. You know, you just can't always quit and then just seek out resources. When many adults, there are a lot of adults in many youth lives where they just don't seem to be able to get the help or the concern that is appropriate for their needs. It's no longer an old school, oh, it starts at home, because if it doesn't start at home, it may start with the bus driver saying, hey, you know, watch your language, young lady, you may be having a hard day, but keep in mind, you know, you may see somebody on the bus who may be your next employer. So those bits of wisdom, pearls of wisdom can come from anybody, and that was one thing that I also shared with my young people as I did the college preparedness, that you never know who's watching you. Oh, I sang yesterday, too. So that's a trend. The other consultant who came in as I was finishing my session, he noticed how calm the boys had gotten when I sang to them. So after my session, I ended it with a song. And it was just, you know, God-led. You know, I just feel my way through. I like for people to hear me sing anyway, so I was expecting to do that. But I really appreciated how, because they were pretty energetic. And one boy even said, look, I'm angry. I said, mention about his mother. I said, do you feel that your mother would be okay with you putting your foot on the desk while I'm trying to, relax. I have them to sit back executive style. And he said, well, I was getting comfortable. I said, well, that's not that comfortable because it's not home. You don't want to put your foot on something where, you know, so I broke all that down. And he said, well, my mother's dead. I said, you know what? I said, well, God rest her soul. But I'm going to be honest with you. He's looking down. And I said, keep in mind, you know, when you're having a rough day, you know, adults have rough days too. You are allowed to share that, you know. And if not, find someone where you can share. Look, and so that adult will hopefully be responsive to the fact that you're right now, you're just not having a good day. I said, but I'm going to need for you to not do anything like that again, because you're going to respect, you know, our furniture. This is everything around here. This is for you. You are the reason these schools are open. You guys, all you guys. So I don't always like to hone in on one or two students. And, you know, we are considering, you know, a lot of these students are angry. Imagine the confusion that they may have, Brother L.A. Had you ever considered that these young blacks may be kind of angry?
Yeah, sure.
So what do you think about, I don't know, sometimes my thoughts cross my mind, like, what if they, I don't know, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say, what if they decided to turn on us? The thing is, they don't respect, you know, what was that conversation I was having today? It's not a trend, because we were talking about trends, but they say typical teenager. Well, these teenagers are not dealing with the same stuff, some of the same issues, basic, but what they're dealing with and what they're facing and witnessing is much deeper and more horrific than what we've experienced, most of us. And so,
now, why do you say that?
When we thought we were free and we were living free and we have these jobs and we have opportunity and so-called equal opportunity, what many in different organizations, Greek or otherwise, are realizing that opportunity is not necessarily equal. And I began to have some of, you know, my sisters and brothers, you know, to share, you know, well, yeah, you know, I really, you know, you get to a certain level and you only see one or two blacks. And I said, well, that's just to make sure that you know that although that person is in there, you may not get in there. So they got their one token black or their two token blacks. So, no, it wasn't meant for you to get to those levels. Not necessarily you per se, but you in general. It wasn't meant for us to get to certain levels in these systems. So we have to create our own systems. Youth have every reason to not respect many adults. And I know it may sound crazy, but what I do to encourage youth is to know that sometimes, in a lot of cases, adults don't necessarily know what to do. We want to do what's best. And I've just been the type of adult that's always been open to conversation. My older son tries to say that I said no, no, no to everything. I said I didn't necessarily say no. I gave you parameters and I gave you restrictions based on it. Now, when I set those restrictions, it wasn't totally no. It was my restrictions, my parameters. So when you say no, I gave you opportunities. So he wanted to hear was no, because that came from, and I'm going to just say it like this, I resent the adults who would say, oh, well, she ought to just let up on you when your child doesn't even want to play sports. My children, I was athletic. My children love this. They're athletes. All three of them are athletes. So the thing is, those influence, you have to be very careful. So even with my own situation, his anger toward me, you know, I had to, we've been working on that lately because he's 20. I spent money and he didn't pass all his classes and he's very bright. So I'm like, come on, man, you know, you can't waste my money. So his first year, honestly, with what we had dealt with, some of the things, you know, my father transitioning, I had to take a couple incompletes. You know, it was very hard to concentrate myself. You know, I'm just being completely honest and vivid here. That young people have, to me, some resentment toward adults, not just their own parents. When they say, oh, these children are disrespectful. Well, if you show respect, that's why I've not had any youth to try to just jump on me. I'm petite. I'm like 5'3" or something. And I do talk my stuff. I don't talk down to them, but I let them know, look, I shouldn't be a threat to you, and you're definitely not a threat to me. I'm here to help you. So let's get something done. I'm accountable for what I came here for, and you're accountable to get what I have to give you. And guess what? You're accountable to encourage the next youth. You guys are the future leaders. I'm one of the ones depending on you. So if I come to give something that has been given to me, I guarantee you, if you can't use it now, you may be able to use it in the future. So just always be open to receiving, but I cannot, you know, completely disregard their possible anger with what they're witnessing happen. And you say you're standing up for me and you march. See, I don't do marching. You march and say put the guns down, but while you march and saying telling me to put the guns down, little JoJo from Inglewood, he's not going to put his guns down. And you're marching. You're not marching with us. You're marching almost like you're marching against us. What is a march? And the T-shirts, all the money that's being spent, that money could be spent on maybe helping a youth to, you know, paying a youth to clean some windows of some local stores. Or to tutor a third grader, you know, maybe a teenager, 16, 17 years old, could tutor a third grader and make a few extra dollars. So we have every opportunity to help our youth to heal our people. We are just facing a reality. As far as a trend, I don't know. We're just facing a reality that we weren't actually free. And, again, you know, according to our topic tonight, youth entrepreneurship, and with the many adults that I know who are in business, many of who come to me for my Spanish training so that they could actually extend their business horizons, I'm holding them accountable to reaching out to a youth. In order to take my classes, I ask that they connect. If the youth, once again, their guidelines, if the youth are under 18, then they may do community service hours, or that adult may come to the school so we can have those parameters set, you know, with making sure the youth is not ever alone with an adult, but at the same time, these adults can actually, because we're not saying that everybody's, you know, a pervert, you know, but we just, you know, there are certain stipulations when it comes down to adults connecting with youth, but as professionals, we have these opportunities. thus this event that we're doing, this bilingual unity conference on Saturday, February 6th. We're going to be together from 6 to 10 p.m. So we're hoping that professionals come from all over in order to just share insights, introduce their business, and that's a way to market to the entire CPS community and also inspire youth to greatness. You know, all businesses don't necessarily succeed, but those that will be present will be people that are working in their passions. And they'll be able to see hands-on how businesses are run. They'll get to see a professional comedian. They'll get to see a professional recording artist sing, myself. They'll see how I work the stage. And so, you know, there's hope. And so we don't always want to just say, get a job, you know, or whatever, because they may want to get a trade and start their own business. We don't always want to, I just believe choice alleviates a lot of that pressure and frustration. One trend that I do have a lot of youth saying, well, school is not for me. What's this other thing I heard this one student say? Oh, a lot of the young males are saying, well, you know, I want to go to the NFL, but if it doesn't work out. I said, wait. I said, just right off the top of my head, CAD is something that I don't accept. We don't want to use that because you don't know unless you try. So you don't want to just say can't. So if you haven't tried it, you don't know. You may be able to accomplish that. So nothing beats a failure but a try. Now, if it doesn't work out, let's eliminate that phrase too, that statement too, because if you want to shoot for the stars, you may be that Michael Jordan, but you have to be able to start mastering your craft now. You may be the one who's mastered some things to the point where you can actually sift through those numbers, those hundreds of thousands of people who will actually rise through creme de la creme. You rise to the top. You can do that. So I wouldn't want to see your dreams crushed by the statements like that. So, yeah, just keep in mind that you can shoot for the stars. And what about when you go into as you continue to practice, you know, that sport, be it you want to go to the NFL. And I know that people have talked to you about the numbers, that everybody's not going to make it to the NFL. I said, okay, well, that's fine. But then you may be able to start your own team. And then I mentioned Ron Hicks from Chicago's team. And a couple of the guys were familiar with that, the ones who wanted to go into the NBA. And then I mentioned my oldest son, who I just had a conversation with him 2 days ago about starting his own program. You know, because these teams, they, you know, when you get on them, these semi-pro teams, you have to pay a fee to get, you know, to join the team. And the thing is, you know, these young people should be encouraged to consider how they can be agents of change. And so that's something trending to agents of change, that phrase there. So.
Okay, well, we're out of time here. So, went by quick too. We'll be back, I guess, next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Same time.
Okay.
And everybody have a good rest of the evening.
To bring about
all right, good night.
Independence of people of African descent here in the Western Hemisphere and first here in the United States. And bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary.